Please be seated. Hallelujah. I trust God that everybody is doing great. I am doing great. I am extremely grateful to the Almighty God for His mercies, His goodness. Because of you, because of my family, because of me. I could share with us so many things that crossed my mind and so many things you will love to hear me preach about. But I want to talk to us about what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. I want you to understand that before I come to the pulpit here, I don't just come and tell you what I feel like. I pray. I pray about it. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Because if I don't speak the mind of God to us, I'm just doing my own thing. I don't want to stand here doing my own thing. I want God to be glorified in your life and in my life. Hallelujah. I've titled this message, I didn't have a title before I came to church. I was just writing. I've titled it, Back to Basics Remembrance, whatever that means. Back to Basics Remembrance. And I think such a title is good for our politicians and leaders in America. That our leaders and politicians will go back to the basics. To understand that the greatness of this country is not rested on a race. The greatness of this country is rested on the diversity of this country. If we think about the great companies that have made this country great, we'll see that immigrants were the fabric of the greatness of those companies. Let me start with Apple. The founder of Apple, Steve Jobs, his parents were from Syria. Apple is over a $1 trillion company. One of the biggest companies you can ever imagine in the whole world. Google was started by immigrants. I don't drink beer. But one of the most popular beers in America is called Budweiser. Budweiser was started by an immigrant. And there are so many. If you go to most hospitals, the most brilliant doctors are Nigerians. A doctor was showcased in Louisiana not too long ago. A Nigerian guy, the best neurosurgeon. I can go on and on. I just want us to take this time to rise. And I want you to celebrate every successful immigrant in this country. I just want you to rise up and clap your hands. Let us celebrate the heritage, the immigrants of this nation. Let us celebrate God for every immigrant that is making their mark in this nation. That is making their mark in this nation. You and I, we came from somewhere else. We are American citizens today, but we are part of the fabric of this society. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me. Listen to me. Our children, some of our children, they are going to be first generation Americans. And guess what? They are going to make their mark in this country. They are going to be the ones that will find solutions, the cure to cancer. They will be the ones to find solutions to the nagging problem of this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning we are going back to the basics that we need to remember about us and God. So I'm going to enjoin you to lend me your hearts. The truth is not hard. It's not that the truth can be bitter. Let me start by quoting Proverbs 11 and 28. Proverbs 11, 28. I'm going to read from the Message Bible. A life devoted to things is a dead life. A stump, a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. A life that is dedicated to things, that lives only for things, to get things, to gather things. The Bible says that life is a dead life. A stump, but a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Holy Spirit of God, please breathe upon your word. Let this word become meaningful in our life today. In Jesus' name. Brethren, life is not about you, nor is it about me. Life is not about any one of us. You may have heard me say many times that every life is created for a purpose. And that is so true. We are made for a reason. We are alive for a reason. And the reason is beyond you, it's beyond me. Your purpose is not in yourself. Your purpose is not for yourself. Your existence is not in yourself. Your existence is not for yourself. Your purpose in life is in God, the God who created you. Hallelujah. You can change your job. You can change your location. But one thing that cannot change, you can't change your purpose. You can't change the reason why God made you. Just like none of us can change our father, nor can we change our mothers. We can't change our parents. Our parents will always remain our parents. Praise the Lord. Whether we like them or not, they will always remain our parents. And the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. You know why? There's a proviso that your days may be long. You want long life? Honor your parents. You want long life? Honor your parents. If you don't honor your parents, you may drive a bulletproof car. You are not covered. Believe me, I trust in the word of God and I stand on the word of God. How do you begin to know your purpose? To knowing our purpose starts with God. It starts with God. It starts with God. It ends with God. It starts with God. It ends with God. You and I, we were born for Him and by Him. You were created for God and by God. The God we have come to worship here today, we were created for Him and by Him. I went for a citizenship ceremony during the week. And when we were reciting the pledge, a part of it said, one nation under God. One nation where? Under God. But the nation now is far, far from God. Because what we call God is no longer what it really is. Hallelujah. One nation under God, indivisible. In the same way, you are born by God, born for God, and you can't separate yourself. You must not separate yourself from the purpose for which God created you. You will malfunction. And any product that malfunctions, the manufacturer always throws it away. If they try to tinker with it and it doesn't work, they will throw it away. You will not be thrown away. In Jesus' name. Amen. According to Revelation 4:11, I won't be reading that right now because of time. It is the will of God that created us. We are created for God's pleasure. Created for what? God's pleasure. Let me ask you a question. Is God getting pleasure out of you? What kind of pleasure is God getting out of you? Most of us are here today because we have a need. We go to God because we have a need. We pray to God because we have a need. When did you go to God in prayer and just say, I just want to fellowship with you, Jesus? Holy Spirit, I just want to fellowship with you. I just want to glorify your name. I just want to honor you. In the back of your mind, you have no request. Oh Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Lord, don't forget that thing we discussed about last week. Lord, take all the glory. Take all. Remember my children. Remember my husband. Please, Lord, knock him on the head so that his head will be straight. No. God have mercy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, I read from the Amplified, the classic Amplified. I'm going to use different Bible versions this morning. Colossians 1, 16, and you can read from the screen. For it was in him that all things were created. It was in God. The him there is God. That all things were created in heaven and on earth. Things seen, things unseen. Whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, by his service, by his intervention, and in him, and for him. All things were created for him. You and I, we are created. So we are created for him. What does this mean? This means you did not create yourself. I'm bringing this into the barest simplicity. You did not create yourself. So your purpose in life cannot be determined by you. You can't determine by yourself why you exist. You can't say, this is how I want to spend my life. No, no, no. You don't have such authority. If what you made by yourself, then you can control what you made by yourself. But the one who made you and I is the one that is meant to determine how we live our lives. I've said it time and time on this pulpit. Remember, we're going back to the basics. The purpose of a product started in the mind of the manufacturer before the product was made. The reason for the product was determined before the product, before it was taken, the materials that made it was taken to the laboratory and put together. The reason for making it was the first thing before the thing. So the reason of the thing is more important than the thing. Because if the thing is not now doing what it was created for, then that thing is not glorifying the maker. I shared it with us like this. I like cars, especially fast cars, sports cars, power vehicles, muscle vehicles. Every car has an emblem. Why is the manufacturer putting their emblem on the car? Because they are so sure of it. Even in those days, how many of us still remember Skoda? You know, Skoda has been redesigned now. The former Skoda was not glorifying the maker. They had to redesign it. You know? Nobody knows Skoda. Only few people. You know, even in those days, look at the Russian cars. They have changed their design because their design was not glorifying them. Everybody is changing it. Have you noticed that we are going back to the fashion we used to have before? Huh? Now our pants are more slim. You know? Back in Nigeria, from my Yoruba root, we call it tontini. That's what it used to be. You know, we are going back to that. In those days now, do you know that we are going back to when pants are now 3/4? I'm telling you. Every time we go back to the basics, we start from the basics and we move again. We now go back to the basics and we move again. So the emblem is on the car. If that BMW, you start it in the morning, the manufacturer says, press that button, it will start, and it does not start. Who is taking the shame? It's the manufacturer. So they will change it. Of all cars, Mercedes-Benz is the one that makes the most designs. Maybe because they are not sure of their design. The one that will function well. Lexus at least change their design. And it drives good. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's the best car. Until you buy me a Bentley, I'll tell you how it drives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, we are created for God's reason. The baby that was just born on Wednesday, we had a baby born on Wednesday to this church. The Olorun Toba family, they had a beautiful baby girl on Wednesday. That baby was born for a reason. Let me tell you, parents may sleep with each other accidentally, but there's no accidental baby. There is no accidental baby. Every child born is purposeful. Just like you and me. So if we understand this, then we must never make any other thing or person bigger than your relationship with your maker. Did you hear me? Do not make anybody, anything bigger, greater than your maker. Your relationship with your maker is more important. Your relationship with the manufacturer is more important. If there's a breakdown, the only one that can fix you properly is the manufacturer. But if you go away from him and you are broken, and every time when you come to the manufacturer, it's only to be fixed and to be fixed and to be fixed. One day the manufacturer will say, this thing breaks too much. Leave it aside. Let's make another one. I pray one more time. May you not be abandoned. In Jesus' mighty name. How can you please God if your focus is just on yourself? How can you please your maker? If your focus is just on yourself, me, mine, what I want to do. No. You are not created for what you want to do. You are created for what he wants you to do. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. You know, pleasing God matters more than anything else you can ever imagine. Pleasing God matters most than anything else in this world. Hallelujah. Everybody will struggle to make sense out of life. As I was writing this morning, I'm like, I just remember there was a time, sometimes, that I'm going to be like, I'm fed up. I'm just tired. Then I'll go to God in prayer. It might not even be a long one. It might be a short prayer, just in worship. that, Lord, I'm tired not because I don't love you anymore, but I need more out of my life. I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. That, hey, I need more. There has to be more to my life than this. Then God will open the curtain and show you a little bit more that will encourage you. Hey, I'm still here. Praise the Lord. So we must understand that so that we don't struggle to make sense of life. Hallelujah. You are not alive to use God. When I was a younger Christian, just baptized in the Holy Spirit, I never really understood my relationship with the Holy Spirit. I always wanted to use the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, can you do this for me? Holy Spirit, can you do that for me? And you see, like a baby Christian who just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me say here, church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just for you to speak in tongues. Praise the Lord. It's much more than that. It's deeper than that. Soon I began to realize that, wait, I'm not supposed to be using the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be using me. It's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be passing through me. Not me telling the Holy Spirit, let me do this through you. No, let the Holy Spirit have his free course in my life. Let the Holy Spirit carry out the agenda of God through me. Even the agenda sometimes that I don't understand. Some things you just find out that can never happen in your life until you submit to the will of God for your life. Jesus said in John 14 verse 26, please listen to me carefully. It's a simple message, but if you listen with your heart, you will benefit a lot. John 14, 26. Jesus said, but the helper, the what? That word helper there is different from when God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet, a help suitable for him. No. The help of the wife is different from the help of the Spirit. The helper there is to help you do the will of God. To help you accomplish the purpose of God. To help you do what God wants you to do. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, not whom you manufactured, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. He's a teacher. How can you be taught by the Holy Spirit if you are not submitted to him? If you are not submitted to the will of God? How can you know the will of God for the Holy Spirit to teach you if you are not submitted? When you don't wait long enough for the Holy Spirit to minister to you, he said he will teach you. And I've met a few people who act as if they know about God when they don't really know anything. Because if you don't let the Holy Spirit teach you, and what the Holy Spirit can teach you will mesmerize you every minute, every second of the day. There's a million and trillion parts of God that you and I have never seen before. But it's the Holy Spirit that can teach us. He says, and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Sometimes, I forget things. I have to pray, Holy Spirit, please help me, remind me. Remind me, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. and it will remind you. Even scriptures, you know the scripture is on your tongue, but you don't even know where it is. It's the Holy Spirit that will remind you. It's here and there. Am I communicating? He said the Holy Spirit will teach you. Let him teach you. Let him teach you. Let him teach you the mind of God. Let him teach you the will of God. Let him teach you the reason why you are alive. Let him teach you everything you need to know. Let him teach you how you should go out, how you should come in. Romans 8 and verse 6. I read from the Common English Version. Romans 8 verse 6. Common English Version. It's called CEV. Watch this. If our minds are ruled by our desires, if our minds are ruled by our desires, he said we will die. The King James or New King James says to be carnally minded is death. That is, if you are ruled by your carnal desires, he says it's death. You are dead to God. You are dead to the Holy Spirit. He says, but if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. Yesterday night, before we went to bed, we prayed. Prayed. And I just found myself, I always know when the Holy Spirit comes into my heart. I just began to sense this sense of happiness, sense of joy. I said to my wife, I said, I'm just sensing joy. And I don't even know why I'm happy. I don't even know why I'm joyful. You know? But it's because the Holy Spirit of God is in my heart. It's in my spirit man. He says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When he says to be carnally minded is death, death there is not necessarily physical death. It means death to God. The way Adam and Eve were dealt to God. And it's a terrible thing to be dead to God. To be dead to God means you don't have an inclination of the move of God. God is not touching you. God is not speaking to you. Nothing. There's no connection between you and God. Even you want to pray, your mouth is heavy to open. We are to be alive to God. Be alive to God, not alive to self, but be alive to God. Can I throw this in the foray? You can write this down if you want. Success in anything in life does not equal fulfillment of life. I'll say that again. Success in any area of your life does not equal fulfillment of life. You may succeed in anything you are doing. That doesn't mean you'll be fulfilled. You know why? Because nothing you do can fulfill you. Only God. Only God can fulfill you. Only God can fulfill you. Only God can fulfill you. That's why I'm not advocating poverty here about what I'm about to say. There are some people who don't have too much, but they are fulfilled. And there are some people who have more than enough. And there's always something missing in them. Anytime you feel like, oh, you are troubled, it's because there's a God factor missing. Connect back to God. Touch your neighbor and say, connect back to God. It doesn't seem you like this message. Tell your neighbor, connect back to God. Hallelujah. Back to basics. Remembrance. Some of us, if they give us fourth grade maths. You may not be able to do it. And you have a degree. You know that? You know why? Because you have forgotten. You are forgotten. But those fourth grade maths are the basics of whatever you know now. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating somebody? I hope I've not lost you. Matthew 16. Verse 24 and 26. Or 24 to 26. Matthew 16, 24 to 26. The Message Bible. I'm telling you the word of God, not my word. The word of God. The Bible says, I like the way the Message Bible puts some things. He said, then Jesus went to walk on the disciples. He went to walk on them with his word. He said, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Woo-hoo. Did you hear that? Jesus said, if you are going to come with me, he has to take the lead. Huh? The Lord said to Abraham, walk before me. I'm going to show you something because it sounds like a contradiction. It's not contradictory. The Lord said, walk before me and be perfect. Jesus said, if you are going to come with me, I have to take the lead. Do you know that the shepherd leads the sheep from behind? Oh, come on now. The shepherd can't lead the sheep from the front. Because the sheep most times don't know how to follow. They know how to be led. That's why the shepherd has the shepherd's stick. He doesn't hold it in the front. He holds it from behind. Guiding them on the side. 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 That's leadership. That's God's leadership. That's what God said to Abraham. Walk before me. I don't want you to be behind me. When Jesus was going to bind Satan, what did he say? Guard behind me. If you are behind Jesus, you are in the devil group. God have mercy. Do you understand that now? Anyone who intends to come with me has to be led by me. That is to say, I have to tell you what to do. I have to tell you which way to go. You are not in the driver's seat. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. Come on, say neighbor. Touch your neighbor now. Neighbor, touch. Do you know? You are not supposed to be in the driver's seat. God is supposed to be in the driver's seat. Jesus said, you are not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. So there is suffering to following God. There is suffering to following Jesus. It's not bread and butter. Praise the Lord. Follow me. And I'll show you how. I love this I'm about to say. Self-help. Come on, help me. Self-help. Come on, church. This is not Kalawansin word, though. It's the Bible. Come on, let's read it. Self-help. God helps only those who help themselves. You know that's a lie. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself. So for you to find yourself is to find yourself in Christ. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. You go out. You come in and you go out to find pasture. Jesus said, you are meant to be going to your job through him. You are meant to be returning home through him. Everything you and I do must be what? Through him. He's the door of the sheep. The sheep must not pass through another door. Pastor, I thought you said it's a simple message. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? You have everything, but your life has no meaning. What could you ever trade for your soul, of your soul for? What shall it profit a man when he gains the whole world and loses his soul? This life we live, I'm closing now. This life, never forget it. Please never forget it. Please never forget it. This life we live is a borrowed one. It's a borrowed life. It was lent to us by God. It is God that lent us this life. We don't own it. So if it is the life of God we live, then we must care about what God cares about. We must care about what matters to God. What kind of a man will I be if I don't care about what matters to my family? If I don't care about what matters to my wife? What kind of a child of God will I be if I don't care about what matters to God? You know, many times we undervalue the greatest desire of God. We undervalue it. The greatest desire of God. We undervalue the greatest need of the world. If I should ask us at the beginning, what do you think is the greatest need of the world? People might have different opinions. That the greatest need of the world is food. The greatest need of the world is water. The greatest need of the world is clean air. We will find all kinds of stuff. But those are not the greatest need. The greatest need of the world is Jesus Christ. Every answer is in him. Everything the world needs is in Jesus. The people who are still worshiping a tree, they may have water to drink, they may have food to eat, but there's something still missing in their lives. And it's Jesus. A life, a heart that is filled with Christ is a life that is filled with everything. What God cares about most is to see the lost saved. Is to see lost souls come to him. And that's the higher purpose for which you and I are alive. To touch the lost for God. To find the lost for God. There are people in church, but who are not in Christ. They themselves are lost, but they don't realize they are lost. The one who is lost cannot find the one who is lost. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I shared with us, but if not, let me say it here. You come into Christ and say, Lord, I confess you as my Lord and personal Savior. You're saved. You repent, you're saved. There's no doubt about that. You're saved. Because those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are saved. But That doesn't mean you are in covenant with God. Amen? The covenant in God becomes like an umbrella over your life. Because you have the umbrella open and it's raining, doesn't stop the rain, right? But it stops the rain from beating you. So when you are under the covenant, no matter what is happening, a lot of things happen to church people. But if you are under the covenant, there are things that are not permitted to happen in your life. Oh, come on. Under the covenant, not just, oh, I am saved. But are you under covenant with him? One of the points is that I will touch somebody's life. I will tell them about Jesus. There's a song we used to sing. I've not heard it for a while. It says, go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful world. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he is coming back again. Go and tell them, Jesus died for sinful man. Go and tell them, he is coming back again. That's your higher purpose. With your suit and tie is your higher purpose. With your high heel and bag and your Gucci sunglasses is your higher purpose. With the best car you drive is your higher purpose. To tell others, because that's what matters to God. Listen, you may endear people to yourself, but ultimately, the people you endear to yourself, connect them with Christ. Connect the people you endear to yourself, connect them with Christ. Just one more minute, I close. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Here's another way to put it. I read from the Message Bible. Here's another way to put it. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Message Bible. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light. You are here, you are alive to be light. Bringing out the God colors into the world. God is not a secret to be kept. You are too psychedelic. They don't know that you are in Christ. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this. The church is a public traded company. We are on a mission, a possible mission. As public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, this Jesus speaking, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I am putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop and on a light stand, shine! Tell your neighbor, shine! No, half shine. Shine! Shine for Christ! He says, keep open house. Be generous with your life by opening up to others. You prompt people to open up with God. How many people really know you are born again? How many people really know that you are a child of God? How many people really know from you that your existence, you let them know that my existence is because of Christ? Says so you will prompt them to open up to God. This generous Father in heaven King James said, let your light so shine. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. The bottom line, brethren, the bottom line is that God may be glorified. If God is not glorified, it's useless. The bottom line is that God may be glorified. Write this down. I just came up with this one this morning. Whenever God is glorified through you, you too will be satisfied.